Well, tonight we're going to continue our study on kingdom character. And I'm going to be honest with you. It's been kind of tough to really think about, I'm a word person, so, you know, to come up with one word and just teach on that one word. Like, you know, when I was talking about loyalty, and I'm like, but loyalty is so much like faithfulness, and it's so much like trustworthy. Like, it, you know, when you have a word, it's like, I don't know, maybe I read the amplified version too much, but it's like, you know, you come up with all these other ways to try to define a word. And just in pressing in and asking God to give greater revelation and understanding to what these words mean that he put in scripture and in even the list of the fruit of the spirit, right? Like we could just take each one of those. And I've tried to really intentionally look at that list as I've been asking God about character, because we're like, well, obviously this is the fruit of the spirit. So how does this relate to like our character when we talk about a person of good character? And so, you know, we talked about love and compassion. We'll get to joy later. That'll be one that we'll do. Love, joy, peace is the one we'll talk about today. Patience, we talked about that, and long-suffering. And self-control. But there's goodness, kindness, and faithfulness. And I'm like, faithfulness, we talked about loyalty. So goodness, oh, gentleness, that was the one. Goodness, kindness, and gentleness. So I just wanted to sneak this in there just to cover the rest of the fruit of the Spirit, right? When I think about goodness, it's real simple, right? It's like good, not evil, right? And so how else do you teach on goodness? The goodness of God, and then how we're to display goodness is by every other characteristic that we've been talking about, right? I mean, even non-believers will say all of these qualities and characteristics are stuff like good people should have, right? When we talk about righteousness, that's being in good standing with God. You're in right standing with him, blameless, above reproach, right? No accusation can be given. And so goodness and then kindness, we kind of covered that with compassion and mercy or even generosity. It's kind to give and to serve others and those kinds of things. But how else do you describe kindness? How else would you describe gentleness, right? We talked about self-control and how we don't want to be people of anger, but be people who are gentle, again, kind, compassionate. So you see, it's like I kept saying all of these words over and over and over again, but they're all so similar because they overlap, because I think they feed one another, right? So I'm not going to talk about those particular words. If you're the kind of person that has to have like a checklist, and Cindy, you didn't cover all nine of the fruit of the Spirit. Well, I kind of did. Just now, if you didn't hear it in any of the other messages, you know, but they do because they overlap so much, okay? But that's why I struggled a little bit about the message today, because I felt like peace was the word we were supposed to cover today. That it is a not just a characteristic, but I think peace is an example of good character. To have somebody who's of good character, of kingdom character, to be like Jesus is to be like the Prince of Peace, right? But before I think we get into peace, I think there's a stepping stone, if you will, where in order to get into peace, we actually have to have courage first. So I'm going to talk a little bit about courage first. And I'm going to read you a few scriptures, but I'm going to remind you first a couple of our key verses that we've been studying, that Romans 5:4, where suffering develops perseverance, perseverance develops character, and character develops hope. And remember, hope is a confident expectation of good things. And our other verse passage is Colossians 3, and I'm going to read that one, starting in verse 12. And I'm reading out of the New American Standard. And this whole chapter is about putting on the new self, right? This is what we're talking about, putting on the new self. Let's read from the beginning. Therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above and not on the things on earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. So I'm going to skip down. Yeah, Verse 12. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And here's the verse for today. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Thankfulness would probably be another good word, a characteristic. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. I think thankfulness would be a great characteristic too that we could go over, but so is wisdom. And that may be one we may cover as well when we think about kingdom character and how we grow in it. But today I want to talk about courage. And let me find my scripture for that. Here we go. 2 Chronicles 15:7 says, but you, be strong and do not lose courage, for there is reward for your work. So, have courage. What does that mean, to have courage? Does it mean have no fear? No. My example to my children when I talk about courage is, courage doesn't mean you don't have any fear. It means even though you're afraid, you still do what's right. You still do what needs to get done. A firefighter, I don't think, is fearless running into a burning house. I think he has courage to put himself out there sacrificially in order to save another person, right? And so it takes courage. It takes boldness. Here's some more scriptures about courage. Psalm 31, 24. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Do you notice the phrase, take courage? Take courage. All you who hope in the Lord. Jesus said, Matthew 14:27, immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. Psalm 27:14, wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. How do we take courage? How do you let your heart take courage? You have to receive it. You have to make a choice to say, okay, I'm going to take courage. I'm going to choose. Even though I might have fear or anxiety, right? It's saying don't fear, but take courage. But I love this verse. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Anytime I see scripture that's sandwiched like that, it makes me pause and chew on it a little bit, because it's almost like it is a sandwich. You know what I mean? It's like, he's like, eat this, chew slowly. You know, so wait for the Lord. We talked about that with patience. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Do you know that be strong doesn't mean that you don't have any other emotion, that you don't have fear, or that you don't feel weak? It doesn't mean the absence of that. That's what I'm saying. Courage is not the absence of fear. So to be strong doesn't mean necessarily that you don't have weakness at the same time. We think sometimes it's real black and white. We tend to think that way. You know, I work with a lot of people who often think that, well, to cry or to share my pain is weakness. No, it's not. It's strong. Why is it strong? Because you're being real. You're being raw. You're being vulnerable. You're opening yourself up. That takes courage. Why? Because you can be laughed at or rejected or hurt again, right? It's a risk. So it takes courage. It takes boldness to be able to step forward in something. Wait for the Lord. Let's see, where's the other one? Jesus, when he was praying for the paralytic, Matthew 9:2, he said, seeing their faith, he said to the paralytic, take courage, son, your sins are forgiven. Another time he was praying for a daughter, a girl, he said, Jesus, turning and seeing her, Matthew 9:22, daughter, take courage, your faith has made you well. And at once the woman was made well. I like that courage comes with not being afraid. It is I, meaning God is present. Here's another one, Mark 6:50. They all saw him and were terrified, but immediately he spoke with them and said, take courage, it is I, do not be afraid. Mark 10:49, Jesus stopped and said, call him here. So they called the blind man saying, take courage, stand up. He's calling for you, blind Bartimaeus. Acts 27:25. Therefore, keep up your courage, men, for I believe God that it will turn out exactly as I've been told. There's faithfulness, trust there in God. 2 Corinthians 5:6 says, therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord, etc. Philippians, Paul talks about in his letter, Philippians 1:14, and that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. You know, where's that verse where Paul, maybe in Acts, where Paul was talking about how consider the charges against us and stretch out your hand, give us boldness to continue to speak the word of God and to minister, right? I couldn't find that verse. But it takes courage. I think that goes hand in hand with faithfulness when we talked about faithfulness. To be steadfast, to be able to persevere when we persevere through difficulty. So that was hand in hand with our talk on patience and long suffering, on loyalty, being steadfast and faithful and trustworthy. But to have courage tells me that there's something really hard going on, or something to be afraid of, or something that's kind of shaking the foundation that I'm standing on a little, right? It reminds me of in Ephesians when it talks about the armor of God. And it says in there that we would be able to do everything, and after we've done everything we can do, to still be able to stand, right? With the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, I'm in right standing, and I'm bound up by truth, the truth of the word, the truth of who God is, the truth of the gospel, the helmet of salvation, where I have a sound mind, that I'm whole. Salvation is not just my ticket into heaven. Right? But it's to be healed, saved, delivered, and completely made brand new. That shield of faith that protects us from the flaming arrows of the evil one, because they're not normal arrows ever. And then there's the sword of the Spirit, the very word of God, our only offensive weapon. But you know, we don't tend to talk very much about the shoes. The shoes for the readiness of the gospel of peace. Yeah. So I think it takes courage to be able to stand and not turn around and run. Notice we don't have any armor on our backside on that list, right? But to take courage. So as I was praying through this, I felt like as we step into peace here in just a moment, I felt like there is a word here for someone about needing to understand that even though you're in fear, when we start talking about peace, it's easy to think, because I do think it's a stepping stone. If I only talked about peace today and you struggle with anxiety or fear, you might feel like you are falling short a little bit of understanding or having peace, right? Like it would just be a supernatural thing that God gives, that peace that passes understanding, right? When it doesn't make any sense, why in the world would I have peace? How do you muster up peace, right? Well, I think you start with courage. That's the action step. When we've talked about how we grow in character, I want this to be a practical teaching. I don't want it just to be talk, right? Like, I want us to be like, okay, how do I practically look at that, God? Like, how do I grow in courage? You know, I'm not going to intentionally necessarily put myself in harm's way, but at the same time, if something, you know, had, if something came up in my life and I needed to have boldness or courage, I need to know that I'm standing assured of what God said or what he wants me to do in that moment, that I do what's right, regardless of what anybody else thinks, regardless of what it looks like, regardless of what kind of reputation, et cetera, damage, right? I mean, like, you've gotta be able to have that right standing with the Lord so that you can have courage to face whatever struggle that comes so that you can still stand. But the shoes are not ready for war. The shoes are the readiness of the gospel of peace. So we're not quick to go look for a fight, right? We don't have to. The fight's going to come to us. Remember those flaming arrows? But at the same time, we've got to be able to take that first step to be able to say, okay, even though the situation looks a little scary, I can stand on my trust in the Lord. I can stand on his goodness. I can stand on his word. I can stand on who he is. But it takes courage for me to still stand, to not back away, to not run. So I think in order for us to pursue peace, we have to start walking through the door of courage first. What does it look like to pursue peace? We've got to have the courage to actually go after it in the first place. Okay? So, outside of courage, when you, where is that scripture? Well, let me share this. I was looking for my book, and I don't know where it's at, but Joyce Meyer wrote a really great book called In Pursuit of Peace. Has anybody read that book? Okay, she wrote another really great book called The Battlefield of the Mind. That's another really good book as well, as you take captive your thoughts, right, and bring them under submission of Christ Jesus. But in the Pursuit of Peace book, I was trying to remember a quote that she had said in there that really stuck with me that time that when I was going through it, because I remember highlighting this one passage and I couldn't find the book, so I apologize, but you can go get it. But what I remember about it is just her encouragement to take a look at how we have to pursue peace, that we don't just sit around and wait for peace to come. Peace comes out of relationship with the Lord, but we have to pursue it, just like we pursue a relationship with him. So that's what I mean by I feel like the initial step is to have courage, to take courage first. And we take courage in the Lord, right? Because he's the one that's good. But then there's different kinds, when we start talking about peace, I think there's different kinds or measures of peace. I'm not really sure how to say that, but other steps, if you will, on that journey. As we step into courage, the first one when it comes to peace is to be able to have peace with God. So let me find the scripture here. James 3:18. Yeah. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. I think that's an interesting phrase. So the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. It's the peacemakers who will plant the seed that grows into righteousness. That's another way to say that phrase. So when we make peace with God, we come into relationship with him through salvation. We've been made righteous by Christ's blood, right? Like he washes us clean as snow. So now we are no longer faultless. We're no longer at fault. We are completely blameless. To be righteous is to be in right standing with God. So when we have the courage to say, here you go, God, take all of me, we receive God, then we have the peace with God. We are no longer at war or at enmity against him. Does that make sense? Because we are now with him. We are now his. We are not sons of disobedience any longer. And so he has made us righteous. We're the righteousness of Christ. And is it Numbers? No, not Numbers. Well, that one is an example of one, I think. Yeah. Okay, so this is where God's talking, the Lord is talking to Moses, and he says, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, has turned away my wrath from the sons of Israel, and that he was jealous with my jealousy among them. So I didn't destroy the sons of Israel in my jealousy. Therefore, say to him, behold, I give him my covenant of peace. God's given us a covenant of peace. Isn't that good? And it shall be for him and his descendants after him a covenant of a perpetual priesthood, because he was jealous for his God and made atonement for the sons of Israel. Now, God is specifically bragging on and highlighting Phinehas, okay, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron. So he was highlighting to him, yes, practically speaking, he was in the priesthood after Aaron. But if you think about this, it's a precursor to us. If we've been made kings and priests unto our God, then this same covenant is similar to the one he gave us in Christ, right? That we have a covenant of peace, that it's for us and our descendants after, even after us, a perpetual priesthood. Because he was jealous for God. He pursued righteousness and relationship with God. I think that's pretty powerful. It does say several times in Scripture that there is no peace for the wicked, says the Lord, over and over. Isaiah 48:22, Isaiah 57:21. There's just several times where he says there's no peace for the wicked. But for us, the righteous, not because of anything that we've done that any man should boast, amen, but because of Jesus, and we said yes to him. Several times Paul also mentions peace in his letters, but this one I like too, in 2 Thessalonians 3:16. And now may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all. To release peace was a blessing. It was a blessing. Let me see if I can find some of the other in the letters. You know, constantly when he did let me scroll some more. Here we go. Every time there was a greeting, Paul said it almost like a similar phrase over and over and over again. I should have wrote it down. Here we are. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians and Galatians. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:2. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:2. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Like over and over. Philemon 1:3. Grace to you and peace from God. What's he saying? Grace to you. Grace, not just mercy. Grace, that's abundance, what you don't even deserve. Grace and peace to you. So it was a declaration of a blessing that Paul constantly said, peace to you. Even John did in a few of his letters. This is 3 John 1:15. Peace be to you. The friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. And here's Jesus in red letters, John. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to you remembrance all that I've said to you. 14 verse 27 says this, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. So do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. You know, the first time I read that verse was the first time I thought, I have permission to never be afraid. Do you know? Do you get that? Like, I know that we're going to have the emotion of fear sometimes, but this was when I decided to be stubborn enough to go, I refuse to be afraid then. I have permission right there. I will fight fear on a regular basis because I say, nope. I'm not going to be afraid. The minute it starts to show up, I just get really stubborn. I have courage. I have boldness to say, nope, Jesus said it himself in red letters. Do not let your heart be troubled or let it be fearful. So what did David do? Constantly emotional David on the roller coaster of emotion, constantly, right? In the Psalms, he constantly strengthened himself in the Lord. He spoke to his soul. He said, he told it to be calm. He said, why are you so downcast within me? Don't you know who the Lord is? I mean, he constantly spoke to himself in that way. But he encouraged himself. He strengthened himself in the Lord. Notice he didn't beat himself up and, you know, and have a bunch of negative self-hatred, you know, criticism. It was not in the Psalms there. Okay, no, what did he do? He told his soul, straighten up, look to God. Be encouraged in him. He's faithful, right? Even when he was emotional. But here's your verse right here, if anyone needs it, in John 14, do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. Now, don't feel shame if you actually have fear or anxiety at times, though. Don't do that either, okay? But just know you have permission to not be afraid. You have permission to rebuke fear. Because perfect love casts out all fear. That's in 1 John. Why? Because fear is about punishment or torment, and he who fears has not been made perfect in love. So what does it mean to be made perfect in love? To not have fear. So it takes courage and boldness, right? As we pursue peace, he says, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. Don't let your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. You heard that I said to you, I go away, and then I will come to you. And if you loved me, if you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father. For the Father is greater than I. And now I've told you before it happened, so that when it does happen, you might believe. I will not speak much more, blah, blah, blah. But I do exactly as the Father commanded, so get up and let's go. So there's peace with God, salvation, and righteousness. Now in 2 Corinthians... I'm going to have to do another. Here we go. I'll just start over. 2 Corinthians. It's in 13. I have them highlighted in here, so I'm looking sometimes for my little highlighted verses. Okay. So it's 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11. Finally, brethren, rejoice, be made complete, whole, lacking nothing, sozo, that's that word. Be comforted, be like-minded, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss, and all the saints greet you. We need to be able to have peace not only with God, but with other people. Now, there's a scripture, and it's in Matthew somewhere, that talks about, I didn't write this verse down, I just now thought of it, but there's a scripture that I mentioned this before, where you go before the altar, and he said that when you go before the altar, and there you remember that someone has something against you. It says that you're to leave your offering there, go and reconcile and make things right with that person before you come and give your offering to the Lord. Now, I want you to notice it does not say that you had an issue with somebody. Because I think that's kind of obvious. He's already told us, you're to forgive the same way I forgave you, lest you're unable to be forgiven and by the same measure, right? And so we've already been given that command, that we're supposed to forgive other people. But this is beyond that. This is, even if I'm going to give an offering to the Lord and I recall that someone has something against me, I don't have to necessarily have anything against them. But if someone has something against me and I'm aware of it, have I done everything I can do to make it right? I'm to pursue peace. Peace with other people, whether I know if it's my fault or not. But if someone has something against me, I'm still supposed to try to make it right. So we have to leave our offering there, go and be a peacemaker. We've got to go and try to ask forgiveness, work that out, because we are called to the ministry of reconciliation. Yes.
with search for peace, in parentheses, harmony, undisturbedness from fear, agitating passions, or moral conflicts, and seek it eagerly. Do not merely desire peaceful relations with God or with fellow men, but with yourself, but pursue, go after them. It's 1 Peter 3:11.
Okay, so 1 Peter 3:11, yes. It's probably in a different translation than I remember it, but yes, that's basically what I was looking for, is that we pursue peace at all cost. Thank you, Mia. In 2 Corinthians 5, let's see, starting, we'll look at verse 16. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Pause. That's just a good one right there. We recognize no one according to the flesh anymore. We recognize no one according to their sinful nature. We recognize no one according to their negatives. God doesn't recognize us according to our negatives. Did you know that? Isn't that good? Okay, so, therefore, from now on, we recognize no one else according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation, a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, the new things have come. So now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. So there's that first step again, peace with God. And then he gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So we are ambassadors in Christ, it says. As though God were making an appeal through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. So not only are we reconciled to God, but we've been given the ministry of reconciliation so that we can bring peace with God to other people by introducing them to the Lord. And we also have reconciliation between one another so that we make things right and we walk through forgiveness, right? To finish that phrase out, he says, we beg you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We become the righteousness of God. There we are again, in right standing. So we need peace with God, peace with others, and we also help other people find peace in God by showing them relationship with the Lord. But then there's also an aspect of peace where we need to have peace within ourselves. And we've talked about how we can have a divided heart, how we can be judgmental toward ourselves, how we can be negative, right? Negative self-talk is a really big thing. When we talked about dividedness and our heart being divided, you know, how there's a part of me thinks this and a part of me feels that way. Immediately, if you start thinking that way, you're already divided. I'm just letting you know that. If once a minute have that language in your mouth, you're divided. David said that I want to have an undivided heart toward you, God, so that there's no division in me and I'm not double-minded, as it says in Scripture. And so in order to be able to have peace with God and peace with others, I think we also have to recognize peace within ourselves, because if God can forgive us, then who are we not to? So it's really important that we walk through that process of forgiving ourselves as well. You know, coming out of agreement with the enemy, specifically recognizing the lies or the vows or the agreements or the curses that we've made agreement with, that we've given the enemy access to, so that we can have peace within ourselves, for ourselves, when we forgive ourselves of things. So I think that's huge. We want to make sure if we're going to pursue peace, we need to have peace within ourselves as well. And I think, here we go. Second, let me see. Nope, that's not it. 2 Corinthians, did I already read that one? 2 Corinthians 5. Yes, that's the one I just read. Okay. And so, and I talked about the shoes for the readiness of the gospel of peace And that is one of the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, here we go. So it's one thing to have peace. It's another thing to be a peacemaker. And this one's huge. This is out of the Beatitudes, Matthew 5:9. Blessed are the peacemakers for what? Do y'all know? Because, you know, it says, blessed are they that da-da-da-da, for they shall da-da-da-da. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are, right? Like the Beatitudes. Okay, what's the peacemakers get? Those are all good. Duet? Yes. So, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. That's identity, y'all. When you're a peacemaker, that's not just you receiving a blessing. That's your identity, your inheritance. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. There's no doubt if you walk in peace, if you sow peace, if you bring reconciliation between God and man, and you bring peace, when you bring peace to a situation, when you wear the shoes for the readiness of the gospel of peace, what is that the gospel of? Good news that we can be reconciled to God, that you can be reconciled to God. So we ought to be able to be reconciled to one another. That's peace. What do we all pray for? Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Right? Wasn't that the announcement that Jesus' birth? Peace on earth. Okay, so peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Yeah. So when we're peacemakers, let's see. Nope, not that one. I'm going to read you some more scripture just because I like the Bible. What's interesting, too, is when you look at peace, you'll get all the ones for anxiety or fear and stuff as well, like cast your cares upon him, for he cares about you. Be anxious about nothing, Philippians 4:6, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Yeah, that's really actually one of my favorite passages, because here's the very next one, Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, this is the New American Standard, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Think about what that means. The peace of God will come when, what? When you're anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So you got to pray, not beggar prayers. You got to pray thankful, overcoming, confident, bold prayers. Let your requests be made known. They can still be requests. You're not commanding and demanding God, but what you're doing is you're partnering with him, praying what he's already saying. Okay? But then what comes is the peace of God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, above all understanding. I mean, my language is this. When it doesn't even make sense. There's no reason why I should be calm at this moment. I should be freaking out. I don't know if any of you have ever walked in the middle of a crisis. And some people react in various ways. I tend to be the one that's stone cold, cool, calm, and say, all right, we got to get things done. I go right into that mode. And then I freak out later. then I can kind of melt down because stuff has to get done. That's just kind of how I'm wired. I move right into function mode, guard my heart, and then it's function mode. And it's like, all right, we got to problem solve. We got to figure this thing out. Let's get everything okay. And then decompress and cry and whatever I need to do and say, thank you, Jesus, for getting us through whatever that was, right? Okay. And some people just fall apart and freak out and, you know, or get really emotional and can't think straight because they process through emotion first before they can calm themselves down to come up with a plan. Everybody's different. There's no judgment there. There's no better than. I'm just telling you. I'm not saying it's better at all. But what I love is this, is the peace of God will surpass all comprehension when it doesn't make any sense. Can I be wholehearted and not shut down where I push my emotion to the side? Can I still be compassionate and kind and thoughtful and be able to function? Can I be wholehearted, not guarded, not shut down? Because what? Because the peace of God's going to guard your heart and your mind. It's the peace of God that's going to guard your heart. I don't have to guard my heart. I don't have to shut it down. I don't have to pretend like I'm not having any feelings, right? The peace of God will guard your heart and your mind. So that's what happens. When you see peace, in my personal opinion, when you get that peace, that level of peace, the peace of God, that's supernatural. That's a gift. That's a grace thing that comes upon you. You can't muster that up for yourself. Other than doing the first part of that scripture, being anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Continually talking to Jesus. You talk to God. John 16:33, Jesus promises, "These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage." There's that word again. Take courage, I've overcome the world. That means we can too, right? In the world you'll have tribulation. Do you know that that's a promise? God's word, I mean, that's God's word right there. He promised it. It's kind of like when he says, in this world, you'll always have the poor among you. You know, I mean, there's just going to be some things we're just going to, are going to be happening here on the earth. And he says, in this world, you're going to have tribulation, suffering, trial, struggle. God's will does not always happen on the earth. I remember when that was the first revelation to me, when I was reading the Lord's Prayer, and it's like, well, why did he teach us how to pray that way? On earth as it is in heaven. Well, his will doesn't always happen down here then. Why else would we need to pray it, right? Because we know it doesn't. It doesn't happen all the time. But he said, I spoke these things to you so that in me you have peace. We don't have to have peace in the circumstance necessarily. We're not going to have peace in the world, but we have peace in him no matter what comes. And now, this is Paul and 2 Thessalonians 3:16, now may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. So that's the prayer of blessing. Isaiah 26:3 says, the steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you. I read you the James 3:18 one already. There's another psalm one I was looking for. We know the fruit of the Spirit. Peace is in that one. Oh, the Numbers one. That was the one, the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. That prayer of blessing. It's another one. Another thing that showed up too, this one is in Deuteronomy 23:6. I constantly saw peace and prosperity go hand in hand. I like to see how words go hand in hand in Scripture because I think there's something to that sometimes. So I don't have an answer to that except to say, you shall never seek their peace nor their prosperity all your days. That's in the negative version. But oftentimes it'll say like Deuteronomy 27:7 says, you shall sacrifice peace offerings. Well, that's the offering, but still peace offerings and eat there and rejoice before the Lord. There was another one that said peace and prosperity. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. That's Psalm 29:11. Psalm 34:14, depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. There's the pursuit again. Psalm 85:10, loving kindness and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. When we have right relationship with God, we can have peace. That's a really good one. Then, of course, the encouragement in Psalm 122:6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and may they prosper who love you. So as we pray for peace within the walls, that's verse 7, may peace be within your walls and prosperity. Oops. Where'd it go? May peace be within your walls and prosperity within your palaces. We know that when he says if we pray for the peace of Jerusalem that we'll be blessed. Psalm 147:14, he makes peace in your borders. He satisfies you with the finest of wheat. For the length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you. Proverbs 3:2. And speaking of wisdom, her ways are pleasant ways and all her paths are peace. Proverbs 3:17. Proverbs 12:20, deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but counselors of peace have joy. It's So peace and joy go hand in hand too. And we'll talk about joy another day. But there's also the verse, I didn't write that one down either, where there's peace, joy, and the Holy Spirit. That's being in the kingdom. Living in the kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy. That's it. In the Holy Ghost. Righteousness. There is that word again. Peace and joy. They all go hand in hand. Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then, of course, I read to you all the ones from Paul that said all of his greetings. There's one I'm looking, let me see if I can search for it again. First Corinthians 14:33, for God is not a God of confusion, but a God of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Romans 16:20, and the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Hebrews 13:20. Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord. What's the rest of that verse? Will equip you in every good thing to do his will. What? Let's read that one again. That was good. Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. That's really good. That's in Hebrews 13, if you didn't catch that. That's part of his benediction. All because of Jesus. He's going to equip us in every good thing to do his will. Because we're his workmanship, right? Didn't we talk? We said that. We're his workmanship. He's going to work it out. So to go back to my notes, and we'll close on this, and then we'll do a little exercise. So when we talk about kingdom character, the kingdom character of being a person of peace, someone who exudes peace, is not just a character trait, characteristic, but it's about your actual character. The definition of character is who you are when no one's looking. Right? Like, what will you do when no one's looking? Like, that's the integrity of who you truly are on the inside. When you're a person of peace, we don't run after war. We don't stir up dissension. We don't cause conflict. We're not going to run into gossip. We're not going to stir the pot. We're not going to create the drama. We're not people of war or conflict. We're people of peace. So we pursue peace. But that means we start with peace with God. So we make sure that we're right with him, right? That we maintain that relationship with him, that we also have peace with other people. Not only do I need to make sure my heart is okay, that I don't have resentments or issues with other people, but I also, like that scripture in Matthew, if someone has something against me, I've got to still try to go and make it right before I can even give my offering to the Lord. The Lord wants us to at least make that effort to make things right, to pursue peace. Don't just sit around waiting for it to happen and show up on your front door. We're to pursue it. We're to make it happen. Because why? Because the peacemakers, those who are blessed to be peacemakers, are the sons of God. And if we're the sons of God, then we're supposed to be peacemakers, right? So we have also then peace the ministry of reconciliation, so that we help others find peace with God as well, but then learning also to have peace within ourselves, where we make sure, if God can forgive me, then who am I not to forgive myself? That I have peace within myself, right? So we've got to make sure that we're pursuing healing in that regard too, okay? And so not only peace with God, with other people, with ourselves, but to also have the peace of God. And the peace of God, in my opinion, is supernatural. That's his, when Christ said, it's not, you know, I give you my peace, not the way the world gives. Because we can find, I don't know, some people can find peace in a really quiet bungalow in a secluded beach. know? And you can just hear the waves, and there, that's peace. Well, I can find peace in the world right there, right? Who's with me? You know, you can find peace in circumstance and in situations. You can have a peaceful sleep. You can, I mean, you know, a quiet place or whatever. You can pursue peace in those too. You can get some of those things sometimes in the world. You can try to pursue that. But the peace of God is that part when we go back to Romans 5:4, it's the suffering that develops perseverance, that develops character. So when we're having difficulty, when troubles come, that we take courage, as Scripture said, to fight fear. And remember, we have permission to refuse to be afraid. Okay? And also remember that fear is not just emotion, it's actually called a spirit. Remember, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love, power, and of a sound mind, or one that's disciplined, self-controlled, as we mentioned before, right? So we have courage in the Lord, but that means we've also got to stand with the shoes for the readiness of the gospel of peace. We're not quick to war, but at the same time, we can stand after doing everything with prayers of thanksgiving, peace and joy and righteousness, all those words we kept finding, peace and prosperity go hand in hand. And again, like I said at the beginning of this message, so many of those words overlap with one another. God sees them as all coming together. It's like a string of pearls, you know. Every little one is a blessing that's strung together for us. And so when we want to have the peace of God, it's that supernatural peace. It's the peace that passes all understanding. And the only way you get that is by pursuing the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace, for he's the God of peace. And if we're to have not just peace with God, but the peace of God, that is when we start displaying his character. We start displaying his nature when it doesn't make any sense. When we actually have something to impart in a situation because we carry peace. Do you know you can't give away what you don't have? I mean, that seems kind of practical, right? So we have to cultivate peace. We have to learn how to rest in God. To rest in his promises. You know, I thought Matthew did a great job the other day when he preached on the promises of God. I've been reviewing some of those promises and going, there are so many promises in Scripture. No matter what it looks like, maybe in my current circumstance, Lord, this is your promise. I'm going to stand on it. I'm going to have courage. I'm going to declare and decree a thing so it will be established. Right? And so we stay in this place of surrender, of steadfastness. I don't have to fight if he doesn't say to go. I can rest, but I want to be, you know, in tandem with him, like those three-legged races. You know, we want to go with him where he's going and in steady step with him, right? So we don't just wait for peace, because see, rest doesn't mean we're doing nothing. Rest doesn't mean sleep even. Rest is a position of your heart. So that's peace to me. That's peace, being able to rest in God, regardless of the circumstances. Surrendering our fear, having courage where we need to, even where the fear might be present, that's the first step. But pursue peace. Amen? All right, let me pray for you. So, Father, we thank you that you are the God of peace. You're not just the God who gives peace, but you're the God of peace. So we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you that you've given us the ministry of reconciliation, that you sent your Son so that we may be found righteous because of him, that we no longer have anything between you and us anymore because of what Jesus paid for. So we thank you for that, God. We thank you, Jesus, for the sacrifice that you made for us. We thank you that we can stand and approach the throne of grace with boldness and confidence and courage. So God, I ask right now that you would just release your presence. Lord, if there's any place that's been kind of pricked tonight where there is anxiety, there is struggle, there is worry, and we have no idea how it's going to be solved. We have no idea how we're going to climb this mountain, or if we're to go through it or under it or just keep speaking to it to go away and jump in the lake. Like, God, would you whisper right now into every heart listening, would you release peace? Just as Jesus spoke to the storm and he said, peace be still. Lord, as it's been said before, we know sometimes you will calm the storm, but sometimes you'll calm your child. So God, I ask for both. Because you said we receive not because we ask not. So I'm asking. Lord, I'm asking that you release peace right now to every storm that's going on in people's lives, that you release peace in every situation, that you disperse every dark cloud on the horizon, or even if we feel like we're in the middle of a storm right now, that you speak peace, like when the weather shifts and changes, like the winds are blowing, that we can say peace and everything calms down. So God, would you release your peace right now to every circumstance, to finances and relationships, God, for health issues, whatever's going on right now, God, I thank you that you know every detail. So we release your peace right now into every circumstance. And God, I ask that you release right now your peace, that supernatural peace, into every heart that's listening. If there's anything, God, that is between our heart and yours, would you deal with it right now? Would you help soften our hearts as we humble ourselves before you and hand over anything, any discontent, any disappointment, any issue right now, and surrender it to you? We thank you, Lord. Thank you that you pursue us, that there would be nothing in between. God, I ask if there's anyone that we need to reconcile with, whether we have issue with them or they have issue with us, will you give us words? Give us direction on what we're to do to try to make it right. Help us to embrace humility and to grow in that characteristic, to find the right way to speak to that person, to make amends. I ask that you soften their hearts if there's issues with them, with the other person, Lord. Teach us how to operate in the ministry of reconciliation. And God, for those people that we're praying for, that we've been trying to minister to, as we want to be known as sons of God, that we're to be peacemakers, to bring them into your family, a recognition of who you are in their life and your love for them. Would you give us words as we minister to them as well, that we would be peacemakers by reconciling them with you? And Lord, if there are things inside of our hearts that we need to deal with where we still beat ourselves up, where we allow the enemy a voice in our ear and we take on that voice to become our worst enemy and speaking those negative things, Lord, would you destroy right now anything that's tried to exalt itself up higher than the knowledge of God himself in our hearts? And we confess that to you, God. We break agreement with every lie, with every curse, with every vow that we've spoken against ourselves, Lord. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Lord, bring those lies to memory right now. We break agreement with those lies right now, God. We break agreement with those lies, those self-judgments, those curses, those vows. Lord, we cannot afford to have a thought in our head that is not something you would think. Thank you that we have the mind of Christ, that we can think the way you think, that you're renewing our mind, transforming us to see things the way that you see them. And you see them in perfect peace and with joy and hope. So thank you, Lord. I speak rest right now over each one too. Lord, I ask that you multiply our sleep, that you regulate our sleep patterns. Everyone here, everyone that's listening, I just bless your sleep to be sweet. I bless your ability to get into proper REM sleep. I bless your brain to move through the proper waves, the alpha and the beta and the delta waves, all the different waves that need to happen so that you and your body become fully whole and restored and replenished in the night watch. And I speak to your spirit right now to step forward and arise above your body and your soul that you receive from the Heavenly Father 24/7. For spirit, you never sleep. So as the soul and the body rests, spirit, arise and receive from the Holy Spirit, from the Father, from Jesus. Be encouraged, be strengthened in God. Father, I ask that you release dreams and visions, Lord, encounters in the night watch. That while the body rests, the soul is repaired and the spirit is fed by encountering you. Bless our sleep, God. Multiply it as if we slept 10, 12 hours, fully rested when we arise. Lord, grant supernatural rest, supernatural peace into every cell in our body. I speak peace. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, God. You're so good. You're so good. We thank you, Lord. And it's in Christ's name that I pray. Amen and amen. All right, yeah, come on, come share.
I loved your prayer because that was like right along with what you were, I wanted to share real quick. When you were sharing Numbers 6, 22 to 27, Aaronic blessing, and in that blessing, you know, a lot of times people miss out the last verse, which is 27. So Aaron and his sons shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. So his end thing is when he's releasing this blessing, he wants to put his name upon us. So in that name, it's a letter Shin. It looks like a W, and the way they used to bless, it was like put their hands like this. W, and in that W, there's a symbolic meaning that that I learned, and so it's Shaddai, which is Almighty God. So he is our Almighty God, and then Esh, which is fire. So he's going to release the fire of God to burn away everything that doesn't belong and purify us. And Shuv, it's the way to change the way you think. So renewing of mind as you prayed. And then Shalom, it's completeness, wholeness. Nothing is missing, nothing is broken, but complete wholeness. And there's a sevenfold Shalom that he, so there's a sevenfold. It's not just onefold, it's sevenfold. And then Shekinah, glory of God. So he wants to put the glory of God on us. So God is a God of blessing, and it's there. That's why there's so many things cross. And when he blesses us, he just releases this blessing upon us. And just peace is just one aspect of it, but there's just so much more. And, you know, we can just receive that continuously all the time, and knowing that God puts his name on us, and we can just walk in that all the time because that's our identity.
Amen. That's good. And, you know, I was thinking of Shalom because Shalom means peace. I'm trying to remember what's the letter? Is this the Shin? Is that? So when the priests would do the blessing, they would hold their hands out like this in order to do the blessing. Yeah, and so, yeah, so it may be two hands. I'm holding the mic, though. But here's what's really interesting. I don't know if you guys knew this about Leonard Nimoy when he came up with that. He actually remembered when he was a younger child. Did you all hear this story? When he was a younger child, he remembers peeking during one of those blessings when you weren't supposed to be looking, and he remembered peeking, and he remembers seeing that. So when they were trying to come up with something in Star Trek or whatever, that's what he did as the symbol for, you know, for Vulcans or whatever, for peace, you know? Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, y'all be blessed. Hug a neck. Pray for each other. If you have a prayer request or something, don't leave without someone praying for you. Everyone in here is equipped to do that, but I'll be here as well if you need to. So, love you. We'll see you Sunday and next week.